Our scripture today is Philippians 2, 1 through 11, and 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. The first one is Paul's letter to the Philippians, and the second is Peter's letter. And the first one has to do more with Christ's humility and how we are to exemplify that humility in our own lives, and the second is more about our understanding of how we are to serve Christ. So first of all, from Philippians, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness or compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value others over yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then in Peter's letter, he begins in verse 7 of chapter 4, the end of all things is near. Okay, we're going to talk about that. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love one another deeply, because love conquers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, then they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, then they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. These passages have a theme of humility and service, and in focusing on them, I hope we can understand the motivations and the actions and outcomes we are to attain as followers of Jesus Christ when we serve in his name. A Christian's purpose in serving is to share the love of God and bring glory to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, by faithful generosity and active participation. And that requires at least three things, which I'm going to focus on this morning: a holy vision, Christ-like virtues, and wholehearted vitality. First of all, about vision. Most of you know that old Irish hymn, "Be thou my vision, O Lord of my life, naught be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light." And in the third verse, which is the real impactful one as it relates to this theme, "Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise." In other words, you don't have to read the desert section of the Desert Sun. "Thou my inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art." So the first question becomes, do we have a vision to serve? Now, I think everybody in here knows the parable of the Good Samaritan. But the first critical event in the parable isn't what he did, it's what he saw. He saw what others who were passing by either chose not to see or didn't see. He saw a need, not a race or a creed or a color or a denomination. He saw a need, a fellow traveler in need. And so he stopped him. He stopped and he helped him. And by doing so, he exemplified the person that Christ wants us to be. Remember, this was not a real story. This was a parable of Jesus. And Jesus is telling us in this parable, this is how we are to behave. So the crux of the story is not only what he did, which we usually focus on when we look at that story, but first of all, what he saw. He had the vision to see beyond himself, beyond his own priorities, beyond his own destination, and meet the need of another. And Jesus' point here is that the least likely can become the most present if they see and address the issues that are right before their very eyes. Now I'm going to give you a little heavy theology here, so be ready. Hang on to your pews. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who we hear a lot about, writes about what he calls the advocacy of incarnationally entering into the reality of the other. Let me say that again. The advocacy of incarnationally entering into the reality of the other. Now, it's not quite as complicated as it first may sound, because this insight is the type of visionary understanding we need as we not just serve to help someone, but additionally, as Bonhoeffer goes on to say, immerse ourselves into a culture, becoming Jesus to that culture. That's a little bit different than just going and helping somebody. It's about immersing yourself in the relationship. And then Martin Buber, another German theologian, wrote a classic back in 1933 that was translated into English in 1937. I expect some of you in this sanctuary have read this book. It's called I and Thou. Anybody remember it? Okay, then. I'll say a little bit more about it than I was going to. The point of Buber's proposition was that we may look at our existence with two different attitudes. The attitude of an I toward an it. In other words, toward an object that is separate, which is either used or experienced. And we can do that with people. It's not just an inanimate object. We can have an I-it relationship with someone else. But the other attitude is what he called the I-thou relationship. It is the attitude of the I towards thou, a sacred, holy relationship. In a relationship where you are not separated by distinct bounds, regardless of what they are, race, creed, color, whatever. A relationship where we emphatically engage in an intent and intimate bonding, not just about helping, but also about connecting with that other person, with the thou. And then in Buber's view, all of our relationships should be I-thou relationships, and ultimately into relationship with God, who is the eternal thou. And remember in Exodus 3:15, when Moses asked God, who are you? He said, I am who I am. So that holiness is maintained, and the relationship between the I-thou is maintained. So that's our calling. As Jesus said in Matthew 5:13-16, you are the salt of the earth. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we serve to honor God and acknowledge the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit and thank Jesus at work in our serving. In that we both experience glory and we give glory to another person. Christian service is not self-serving. It is serving Jesus and another. the opportunity, the challenge, the calling as believers is to give of our best to the Master, and in so doing, serving God by serving others. So there's sort of 5 points that I came up with about humble serving, because I really think it's important to tie those two things together. First of all, as you and I serve in such a context of humble serving, we are much more likely to do our part in focusing on fostering justice for all people and not merely supporting the status quo or focusing only on our personal or ecclesiastical or churchy inner lives. It's reaching out and becoming more than self-contained, more than circling the wagons to protect our theology or our expectations about what life is and about what church is. Real servants serve God with a different outlook. They focus on others and not themselves. Just like Jesus, we are to empty ourselves and take on the form of a servant. And when you forget yourself, you'll begin to remember things that really matter, because it's not all about you. In the Old Testament, Micah says, "He has shown you, O person, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God." And then you will think like stewards and not like owners, managing the resources God has entrusted to you. You will think about your gifts and responsibilities and not about what other people are doing. Because as soon as you begin to compare yourself to what other people are doing and thinking that you ought to do that, you have missed the boat. Because God has called you to understand your own spiritual gifts and find ways of serving based upon the abilities that He has given you. Serving is not a competition. It's a collaboration. Revi Zachariah, and yeah, that's the guy's first name, and he is a reverend. Revi is his first name. And he is a graduate of Trinity Seminary and was a classmate of Doug Girard, actually. I heard him speak recently, and he goes around the country giving lectures on theology. And he said that intent is prior to content. In other words, why are we doing what we are doing is the crux of the matter. And some of you may recall about a month or so ago, David preached a sermon on that question, why? And basically, that's what Revi is saying here. Intent is prior to content. Too often we look at what we accomplish instead of, first of all, examining why we are doing it. Why are we serving? To whom are we serving? For whom are we serving? What are we accomplishing? And with that mindset, let me introduce you to some opportunities that you may find significant for you as you seek to serve, like Bonhoeffer says, incarnationally entering into the reality of the other. And as somebody said a couple weeks ago, as David or Sid, it's like preaching to the choir for some of you. And it includes preaching to the choir, by the way. Yeah, that too. Someone has written, and I paraphrase a little bit, everybody can be significant because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to have a gregarious personality. Now, that'll hang some of you up, I know. Or you don't have to have an eloquent vocabulary. There's only two things you need. You need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. Here at Palm Desert Community Presbyterian Church, with our newer members, we've begun to use this spiritual gifts assessment that helps identify your spiritual gifts and then in turn determine where you might best serve in the scores of missions and ministries that we support. And it can be as simple as making phone calls to a shut-in, or to befriend someone facing a crisis in their life, or in serving meals at the Coachella Valley Rescue Mission, or in mentoring a youth or a person needing a friend to help sort out a situation. It can be providing transportation, to teaching a class, to participating in worship by preparing the elements for communion, ushering, singing in the choir, to visiting prisoners, to being involved in the Read With Me program, to helping with Care Day and Better by Sunday, to sewing groups and knitting groups, to supporting our missionaries, even to going on a mission trip. By identifying where you can serve in whatever capacity to the glory of God, for the love of Christ, and to serve others is what matters. As Christians, we ought to be doing it that way. We ought to be looking at it from the point of view, are we serving Christ, are we serving God, and are we serving others? Otherwise, you're just volunteering. There, in my mind at least, a distinction between serving and volunteering, and it's the motivation that is compelling you to do it. As Paul writes in that famous passage in 1 Corinthians 12, there are different kinds of gifts, but they are all given to believers by the same Spirit. There are different ways of serving, but they all come from the same Lord. There are different ways the Spirit works, but the same God is working in all these ways and in all people. So this gifts analysis that we want you to come do after the service today, which only takes about 10 minutes, and it really is a lot of fun and a real revelation if you've never done one before, and we have food. It'll take you 10 minutes, and I know that a lot of you like to zip out the side doors, but if you could today at least go over to Miller Hall and see the incredible setup that Kathy and her crew have done, and you can get this done in no time, and it'll be very revelationary to you. But this gifts analysis identifies 12 gifts: administration, evangelism, exhortation, giving, helping, hospitality, leadership, mercy, prophecy, service, shepherding, and teaching. And from that, you can identify the top two or three spiritual gifts that you have, and from there, look into what opportunities there are to serve that are in the same wheelhouse as the spiritual gifts that you have. Now, usually in good sermons, we use great illustrations. Today, you are the illustration. The sermon will only be as beneficial as the response that it generates. So please help me look good, okay? Get over there and fill out the form. At the end of the service, as Kathy said, just go to Miller Hall, determine your gifts, fill out the form. There are people there to help you. There are several people that are going to be involved at different tables for different types of ministries. But remember, you are the living illustration. And then all of this effort to help fulfill our identified values in our vision framework for Palm Desert Church. Our identified values for serve ministries is generosity and active participation. Because Jesus commissioned us to go out into the world and make disciples. So generosity and active participation could very well be the best way you can do that. You will be a vital part of PDCPC becoming a more flourishing congregation. And now we hearken back to the words of Peter. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift you have received. And the outcome is changed lives, both for you and for those you serve. And finally, the final V is vitality. We are to do this with vitality. Whoever serves must do it with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Now, doesn't that get you fired up? It should. I mean, I love that phrase, that part of Scripture from 1 Peter, because it's a benediction. After he says, get the supplies, glorify God, serve with strength, and to him be the glory and power and honor forever and ever. One definition of vitality is that it is the power given continuance of life. And as disciples of Christ, we believe that we have the power because of God's Spirit working within us. Our power is embodied in Christ's Spirit and Christ's presence. So to flourish and to be good followers of our Lord, we demonstrate and share that vitality in our serving. It takes unwavering faith, the faith of a community of believers. We are called to do it together. Christian faith, even though it is personal, is not private. You can't go off on a hillside and be a Christian by yourself. Sorry. That's not the way I interpret Scripture, at least. It takes unwavering faith, and we only become holy and acceptable to God as a community of faith. And it also takes a sense of urgency. In the passage we read from 1 Peter, he starts out in verse 7, "The end is near." Now, he and all the early Christians really believed what he wrote, that the end is near. They were convinced that Christ was returning soon, and therefore they needed to get their faith in line in a hurry. But even if you don't think that there's an imminent end to the world, because when people do these days, we think they're kind of kooky, but even if you don't think that, even though the Bible says that that is happening at some point, eschatology is really not something we study much in major Protestant denominations. Eschatology having to do with the end times. But, given all that, this passage emphasizes that we have a need to look to this day, for it is the day which the Lord has given us. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, and not be a Scarlett O'Hara Christian who will think about that tomorrow. To be good stewards of God's grace, we serve to honor Him. And that brings us back to remembering that we do it all in a spirit of humility. C.S. Lewis wrote that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Like that one? I love that one. Not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. And our work is measured by at least three propositions. Is it work for God, given to us to do by Him? Does the power for that work come from God and not ourselves? And do we see it as His work into which we have been engaged as co-workers with and for Him? For example, in our Stephen Ministry program, it's explained this way. As a Stephen minister, you are a caregiver. Christ is the cure giver. Your opportunity and responsibility is to walk alongside someone when they're going through their crisis. So intentional and cooperative relationships, those I-thou type relationships, and in Christian community, as a community of faith together, we fulfill our spiritual identity and embrace our full potential, thinking and acting the way God encouraged us to do. And we do it all in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. See you in Miller Hall.